So there's this English composer, actor, playwright named Noel Coward. Maybe you've heard of him before. But he is decided to play what is either the most epic of pranks or the most cruelest of jokes. It just depends on your perspective and how you feel. And so he wrote an anonymous note to 10 men in London. The note said the same thing, and this is what the note said. We know what you've done. If you don't want to be exposed, leave town. Now, if I got a note like that, I wouldn't care because I don't even know what I've done, so it would be fine. And it was meant to be a joke. It was just meant to be a prank, and that's all it was. But here's what happened. Within 6 months, all 10 of those men took their families and left London. All 10. And so while it was intended to be a cruel joke, what it also illustrates is the truth is that some people are eaten up by guilt. And guilt out of control really just wreaks havoc in your life. And the truth is, there are a lot of people like that today who are eaten up with guilt. Maybe you've got something going on in your life. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's someone that you know. I mean, I don't know who or what. Jim, can you turn me down just a tad, please? I'd appreciate it. Thank you. But what I know is this. I know that guilt out of control can destroy you. But also know this, and this is one of the things we're going to talk about tonight. Guilt is not necessarily a bad thing. It all depends on how you use it. And so we've been talking about it in this series, and James, from what I understand, did a great job talking about this Sunday morning. But what we're going to talk about today is the reality that God is greater than guilt. God is greater than guilt. Whatever it is that you feel guilty about, whatever you feel guilty, whatever's happened, you need to understand that God is greater than guilt. So to understand that, we need to understand what guilt is. Well, I mean, what it really is. So there's a couple ways to look at guilt. There is the way that happens a lot in marriages, or maybe just in mine, when my wife catches me in the middle of something that I may or should not have been doing. And my first reaction is, when she says, what are you doing? Not what? Nothing. I'm not doing that. What are you talking about? I didn't do anything. And I just start double talking. And the more I talk, the guiltier I sound. You know, it's kind of the kid with his hand in the cookie jar. What are you doing with the cookies? I'm not eating cookies. You know, it's kind of the same thing. And so sometimes guilt causes us to kind of do crazy things, because guilt is, it's like an internal warning sign. It's like an alarm. Now, most of this, this will be an interesting test. How many of you have ever seen the old show? I don't mean the movie they made, which was horrible. The old show, Lost in Space. That's what I'm talking about. Lost in Space. The rest of y'all need to find Jesus or see Lost in Space, one or the other, I'm not sure. Lost in Space was in reruns when I was a kid, but it came on every Saturday morning, and it was about the Robinson family, and there was this robot who was like Will's personal protector, and every time something bad would happen, he would flap those really weird, like spaghetti-looking arms. You go, danger, 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 danger. Well, that's what guilt does inside of you. It's like having your own little robot that when you cross a line or you come into a line or you've done something wrong, there's something inside of you that goes, danger, 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 that's telling you either you're about to do something you shouldn't do or you've done something that you shouldn't have done. And so that's kind of what guilt is. Now, here's what happens with guilt. Two things happen. One is we heed the warning and we change our course of action, we change our choices, we do something different, right? Warning, warning, danger, danger, and we go, okay, I've crossed the line, I need to stop this. Or I'm about to cross the line, I need to stop. So that's one option. The other thing that happens is that sometimes we ignore the sign because we want to do whatever it is. Our conscience, our soul saying, you're about to cross the line, we go, yeah, I don't care. And we just do it. The problem with that is the more times you do it, eventually you stop paying attention to that warning sign. Eventually that really loud danger, 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 or whatever it is, that's kind of how I would imagine it in my head, but my head's a dangerous place, yours may be different. Whatever it is, however, whatever it is for you, It comes to a point where it's just a whisper. You don't pay attention to it anymore. Because with guilt, we do one of two things. You expose it to light, or you push it in the darkness. And that's what all of us do. You either push it to light or expose it to darkness. And so the problem is, like these 10 guys in London who, you know, who got pranked, maybe the greatest prank ever, they were worried about getting caught. That they had obviously done something that they shouldn't do. And that's the other thing with guilt. Guilt convinces us, cons us, that no one will ever find out. No one will ever know. And so we just keep pushing it into the darkness because no one's going to find out. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that story where someone's looked at me and said, I didn't think anyone would ever find out. The problem is someone always knows, because the reason God's greater than guilt is because God knows everything. This is what Paul says about about sin and guilt and problems. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, he, this is talking about God, will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. In other words, the more you cram stuff into that deep, dark place in you and thinking no one will find it, eventually Jesus is going to shine light on it. And what you think is hidden from the world will be exposed to the world. It's why, as we are getting ready to enter a political season, you're going to start hearing, no matter, you know, your political persuasion is none of my business, but everybody's looking for a little dirt to expose a little light on someone's dirty, dark secret. And that's what's fixed. We're about to have 2 full years of that. So guilt is good or guilt is bad. So we're going to talk about guilt is good. So I want you to see the first half of guilt. This is guilt the way God intends for it to be. Okay, so if you're kind of walked in here going, well, guilt is horrible and terrible. Nope. The reason that there's a warning inside of you, the reason your conscience or your soul or your brain, the reason that something says I'm crossing the line is because God put that in you. It's a warning sign. It's God made that for you. And so I want you to consider guilt this way. This is not original with me. This is completely stolen, but that's okay. Consider guilt as God's unique, intentional, loving treatment. That's how you need to think of guilt. God's unique, intentional, loving treatment. In other words, guilt is how God gets your attention before you do something dumb. While you're doing something dumb, or after you've done something dumb. It's God's way of getting your attention. The poster child for this is King David. And we talked about David in a series a couple weeks back, I believe. So I want to kind of remind you of David's story. David's story is really, really simple. David was the greatest king who ever lived, the greatest leader of men who ever lived, a man after God's own heart. And instead of going to war, he stayed at home. He saw a woman. Her name was Bathsheba. They had an affair. He had her husband killed, who was his friend. And then he thought he could hide it from everything. But God shone light on that. And David had a choice. When God showed light on his sin, David could have pushed it deeper, ignored God, or he could allow God to expose light. His son Solomon, in the same circumstances, pushed it deeper in and pretended like, oh, that didn't happen. But this is what David said. This is in Psalm 51. David said this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. That's an interesting word. And cleanse me from my sin. So David's response when he was confronted in his sin and this stuff was guilt was eating him up, his response was, shine the light bright. Expose this to the light because this is getting in the way of me and God. And of all the reason David was a man for God's own heart is because he didn't want anything to get in the way between him and God. Now, this word that we translate as iniquity is a Hebrew word. It's called avon, alvon. And what it means, the closest word we had to it in our language would be perverse. Now, when we talk about someone being perverse, that is not good. That is not kind. That is the worst of all things when something is perverse. So what David is saying is, wash away all my perversiveness and cleanse me from my sin. David says, what I did was so horrible, I tried to cram it deep inside my soul. I tried to hide it from the world. I tried to pretend I was some great guy, when in reality, I'm just a murdering adulterer. And I'd rather the world find out than no one find out. God used guilt to confront David. And David responded the right way. David responded the way you're supposed to respond. Now, it doesn't always go that way. This is the dark side of guilt. This is the other side of guilt. Once again, I stole this, not original with me. But consider guilt as this: grief used in lifelong torment. Grief used in lifelong torment. In other words, when you keep pushing stuff deep into your soul, when you keep pushing stuff into that dark place in you, hoping no one's ever going to find out, hoping no one's going to see, your thought process is the light will never be exposed in this part of me. Sounds great. Except for you got to live with that. And as you're trying to live with that, it makes you miserable. And it makes you miserable, and it makes you a prisoner. And then it makes you a prisoner, and it makes pain a part of your life. And most of us don't like pain, and we want the pain to go away. And so there's two ways the pain goes away: expose it to light, or find something to ease it. This is what most people do. So if this is your story, if this is someone's story you know, this is what you need to know. You can't drink guilt away. You can't drug drink away. You can't party it away. You can't sleep it away. You can't work it away. There's nothing on this planet you can do to alleviate guilt, because we were not designed to alleviate guilt. We weren't designed to live with guilt for a long time. Guilt's purpose in creation is to expose us to our mess so we can step back into the light. And when you don't step in the light, you live in darkness. When you live in darkness, you live in pain. When you live in pain, you find something to make the pain go away. And nothing on this planet is going to make it go away. And if that's your story, if that's someone's story that you know, you need to tell them. It's not going to get better until light shines on this. Now, here's the problem with light. When you shine light, have you ever gone under like the house and it's really dark under there, and you shine a flashlight under there and you see things scurry away? Because they like being in the dark, and they don't like it, and it's unpleasant when light is exposed. If you're crawling under the house, I've seen enough videos to know you need to shine some light before you crawl under there anyway. I'm never crawling under a house again, ever in my life, ever. Whole nother story. But man, things in the dark, they scurry because it's messy and it's nasty. And here's why no one wants to expose guilt to light: because it is really dangerously messy. Because it's not like, here I am. King David exposed his guilt to light, and he had to deal with some severe consequences. Consequences don't go away. And so when I tell you that God's idea is that we expose light to this guilt that we're carrying around, God's plan is that we deal with the consequences of our guilt, of our actions. And that's messy and that's hard, which is why we keep cramming stuff into the side, because we don't want to deal with that. Sometimes we convince ourselves that we're protecting somebody, when the truth is we're just protecting ourselves. But at its core, here's the problem with guilt. Unaddressed guilt always, always, always leads to shame. Now, some people think guilt and shame are the same, but they are completely different things. So if you thought, well, guilt and shame is kind of the same thing, no, it's completely different. So think of it this way. Guilt is about what I've done. Shame is about who I am. Shame is absolutely personal. Guilt is about my actions. We feel guilt because of things we've done. We feel shame because there's something wrong with me. Or at least that's what we think. See, because that's what shame does. Shame leads us to corrupt our identity with Christ. Shame convinces us that we're a mess. Shame convinces us that we are not what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, a new creation. We are a broken, shattered mess that can never be fixed. And that's what happens when you live with guilt and you don't address it and you don't bring it to light. It leads to shame. So, here's the deal. There's two forces that use guilt. God and Satan. God uses guilt to bring you to light. Satan uses guilt to bring you to shame. Satan uses guilt to convince you that you're worthless. So, a little truth about Satan, in case you hadn't heard. He's a liar. He's a thief. And he will do anything to convince you that you are not worthy of being a child of God. He will do anything to convince you that you've crossed some line, some imaginary line, you've done too much, you've gone too far. It is his sole purpose to move you as far away from God as he can. That's why he does. And that's why guilt is so dangerous. Unresolved guilt leads to shame. Shame opens the door for Satan to come into your life. And he gets a stronghold and he starts convincing you of something that you're not. That you're stupid, that you're ugly, that you're alone, that you're a cheater, you're a liar, an adulterer, you're a mess. And that's the game he plays. Because if he can convince you of that, you're never going to expose guilt to the light. But let me remind you, Satan's a liar. And he's got a powerful, powerful enemy. And it's called grace. So I want you to think about this, okay? I want you to think about the difference in shame and grace, okay? And this is huge, okay? Shame says I'm defective. That's what shame says. Grace says I'm valuable. I know it's hard to see. Shame says my flaws may be unacceptable. Grace says that despite my flaws, I am priceless. Shame believes what others think of me. Grace convinces me that all that matters is what God thinks of me. Shame makes us your prisoner, and grace sets you free. And if you want to see these, I have them, and you can get them later. Same thing. God uses guilt to expose the light to convince you that you're free, that you have value, that you have worth, that you have meaning. Satan uses the same tool to convince you that you're worthless, that you're a liar, that you're broken. And that's why guilt is so, so very dangerous. This is what 1 John says. He says this, if we confess our sins, in other words, if we take this guilt that we're carrying around, this mess we've made of ourselves, if we expose it to light, he, God, is faithful and just. Remember, that gets, oh, God is not fair, but God is just. Be grateful that God is just and God is not fair. Because if God were fair, not just, this verse would not be in the Bible. A lot of verses wouldn't be in the Bible. A lot of Bible wouldn't be in the Bible. If we confess our sins, if we expose our guilt to light and deal with the consequences, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. John says, the best thing to do with your guilt is open the door and show it all to God. And deal with what comes. Because that's so much better than shoving it inside and not dealing with it. Because eventually you're going to have to deal with it. It's like going to college. We have some college kids here. And there's two ways to address college. You can study, study, study. Or you can pray, pray, pray. And sometimes you study, 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 and pray, pray, pray. But you know what? If you had a professor who says, look, we're only going to have one test. It's going to be a final. And we're not going to have any other test. I don't care if you come to class a single day. I don't care if you take a single note. I don't care if you read a chapter. We're going to have one test. And your grade on that test is your grade in my class. You have choices. You can study, study, study to make an A, which means you got to give up something. Or you can pray, pray, pray that you can remember enough from osmosis when you're sleeping in class because you don't have to take notes to pass the class. But you have to make a choice. Guilt demands that we make a choice. Either we expose our guilt to light, or we put our guilt in the dark. But what shame tries to teach us is this reality that we've talked about, and here's the power of resolve guilt. When you resolve your guilt and you give it to God and you deal with what comes, this is what we understand. We've talked about this a lot for the past few weeks. There is no sin beyond God's grace. Shame convinces you that that's not true. Grace proves to us that is absolutely true. And that's what the cross is all about, that there's no sin beyond God's grace. None. So if you're thinking, well, but you don't know about, doesn't matter. Well, you've never, doesn't matter. You just don't understand. Maybe I don't. But here's what I know. There's no sin beyond God's grace. That's what the cross is all about. That's what it's absolutely all about. So here's the question. Guilt is either going to be your friend or guilt is going to dog your life. The question is, will you use your guilt? Will you navigate your guilt in a way that makes you better? Are you going to navigate your guilt in a way that makes you bitter? That's the choice. That's it. How are you going to navigate the guilt in your life? Is it going to push you to God or is it going to pull you away from Him? Everybody deals with guilt. Everybody does. It's how you deal with it that defines who you are. I love how Louis Giglio talks about all this in his book, I Am Not, But I Know I Am. It's one of my favorite books, but he says this, and it's really long, so I'm going to try to read it a little slow. It says, so if you're at a place where weariness and strain are more commonplace than rest and wonder, God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows just how small and frail you are. Hear what I'm saying. God knows you better than you know yourself. This stuff you think you're hiding from everyone, you're not hiding it from Him. He knows everything. These things you're cramming into the dark, there's no darkness that He can't expose. He knows you better than you know yourself. Then He says this. He knows that you are just one person and a tiny one at that. He knows all the things that you are not. That's why He has never asked you to be more than you are, little you, with a great big God. In other words, He says God's greater than your mess, and He's never asked you to try to be greater than your mess. You just have to give it to Him. Then He says this, but God is also in touch with just how potent He is, desiring to do huge, God-sized things through you if you're ready to abandon the path of making more of self and embrace the miracle of being small yet knowing His name. So this past weekend, when I was not here with you, I was in Carrollton, and it was a really great weekend. It was Riley's first birthday party. Her actual birthday is today, but her birthday party was on Sunday, and it was a really cool thing. And so I had this great day with family, and she was dedicated at church, and I got to be a part of that church service because the preacher's a friend of mine, and Hayla says, if you want to be a part of this, I said, yes, please. Yes, please, whatever I have to do. And so that was really cool. And you're just thinking about this little baby you're holding in front of all these people, and we're getting ready to pray. And I had a really hard time. I had a tough time praying because I started thinking about all these things that I didn't want to say out loud. And one of the things I started to think about is I would do anything in the world to protect this little girl. And the last thing I would ever want is this little girl to think she's done something so horrible that she can't come to her pappy and think that I won't love her. The last thing I would ever want is for Riley Jane to ever do something so bad that her mom and dad would go, you know what? We're done with you. That's what unresolved guilt does. It convinces us that we have no worth, we have no value, and we've gone too far. It's why grace is so important and shame is so dangerous. Yesterday afternoon, with this girls' soccer team, we gathered at the same church and we were hanging out before the game, and I got to talk to them about a bunch of things. And one of the things we talked about were your life choices. And the reality that you're not defined by the things you do, you're defined by who you belong to. Unresolved guilt defines you by what you've done. The grace of Jesus defines us by who we belong to, despite what we've done. And I know this because God is greater than your guilt and God is greater than your shame. The question is, will you allow God to use your gift to move you closer to Him? Or are you going to use your gift to push yourself further away from Him? Lord, we are thankful and grateful for this amazing thing you've done in us that maybe most of us don't even realize has taken place. Maybe you call it that little voice in your head. Everyone probably has a different name for it, but that thing inside of you that tells you that you're in imminent danger, that you are crossing a barrier you should not cross, or you've crossed a line you should not cross. Sometimes shame convinces us, oh, well, you might as well. But you want us to stop in our tracks and find ourselves back to you. Lord, I pray there's no one in the sound of my voice, nobody, who ever thinks they've gone too far and done so much that you would not love them for who they are. Help us to stop defining ourselves by what we've done and where we've been, but rather by who we belong to. And allow that to change the course of our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.